This is Lennon Mishi from the Anti-Slavery Knowledge Network, community-led strategies for creative and heritage-based interventions in sub-Saharan Africa. We are funded through the Arts and Humanities Research Council and the Global Challenges Research Fund to explore how approaches from the arts and humanities can address contemporary forms of enslavement by adopting a community-engaged human rights focus that delivers development impacts. In this podcast, we discuss some of the commissioned work that has been produced through the Anti-Slavery Knowledge Network and their collaborating partners. We're here in Accra at the University of Ghana, Legon, with City Arts and their project, Emerging Voices. Can you guys introduce yourselves?
Hi, my name is Kwaku Boateng Ankoma. I am the dance and drama coordinator at Emerging Voices, City Arts.
Hello there, my name is Enyo Bruku and I am the heritage site expert for the Emerging Voices project here in Ghana.
Hello, I'm Florence McCudden. I'm the project administrator for the Emerging Voices project here in Ghana.
Well, thank you so much, guys, for taking time to have a brief conversation about some of the work that you've been doing. So to just start with, could you just give an overview of what Emerging Voices is?
So Emerging Voices is a project that is focused on tackling issues of modern day slavery. And what we are trying to do is to educate children between the ages of 8 to 20 about issues of modern day slavery, but also from a historical point of view, and also using creative acts as a medium to teach these children about issues all about slavery. Yeah.
So Emerging Voices has different compartments to it. Because it's an arts and humanities based project with the Anti-Slavery Knowledge Network, what we have is we have the performance arts side, which is the drama and dance, and then we have the arts, which is fine arts, and then photography. And then of course we have all the knowledge based stuff, what I call the academic stuff, which the kids do as well, and the heritage sites. And all of these combined makes it what it is.
Yeah. So the Emerging Voices project, as well as what Enyo had said, it's all in the hope that we also equip the participants with the knowledge about modern slavery in order to minimize their risk of being exploited, and also like help in their community. Like, it's Emerging Voices, so it's giving them a voice to speak against modern slavery and exploitation at the grassroots level in their community.
So what have been some of the highlights of the work that you've been doing? I mean, you could also, as you look at some of those highlights, point out some of the challenges, especially to do with, in the first instance, form, if you're thinking about whether it's been the performance aspect of it, or it's been the sort of educational or academic aspect of it, working with children or young people. What have been some of the highlights or some of the challenges?
Okay, so from my sector in terms of the dance and drama, what I have noticed is the first challenge we had was getting the children to link what they had learnt from the academic side of the work and turning that into drama or dance and letting them understand those links. So we would ask them a few questions about, you know, what they had learnt, and some of them still hadn't grasped it yet. There wasn't a grasp of the subject matter. And then when we introduced the drama and dance sections and introduced either script or poetry or whatever we used, it then linked into what they were what they had been learning, and it opened up their mind, broadened their mind in terms of how it both works together. So the challenges of using, having kids who didn't have much experience of what modern day slavery was or what transatlantic slavery was, our conception of it, and then them going, seeing pictures and videos and documentaries, short documentaries of what it was, and then having to now turn that into drama really helped them to understand it.
To just add to what Kweku said, I feel like for me personally, the highlight is the increase in knowledge about the whole issue of slavery for the participants or the children, from both a historical point of view and the modern slavery point of view. Because at the early stages or the phase one of our project, these were kids who did not believe slavery was happening in Ghana, at this, like currently is happening in Ghana. These were kids whose knowledge of historical slavery was not anything to write home about. It was just, oh, it's a castle there, that's it. There's nothing more to add to that. But after field trip visits to these heritage sites with connections to the transatlantic slavery and also lessons based on modern day slavery, the knowledge that these participants or these children have acquired is beyond what we even thought would become, looking at where they were coming from. So this has been a major highlight for me in terms of their increase in knowledge in what they know currently about the concept on, or the issue of slavery here in Ghana, past and present.
Yeah, for me, the highlight, I would say, would be the when we did the intensive summer camp, which we focused on modern slavery, and particularly in using, because it was like so intensive, we were able to really delve deep and explore the material or the social issue of modern slavery in Ghana. And then they were able to, like in a traditional lesson first, and then they were able to reflect on it in a creative art sense, and what the results of that and their engagement with it was really amazing to watch. And their responses even in the traditional lessons and the questions that they were asking were really thinking about it and what it meant for them, which was a highlight for me. And as well as like what Enya mentioned, the knowledge that from that point onwards that they have really kind of grasped it, and like they still kind of have that knowledge and want to talk about it with us, and they want to share it with their community and with us as staff as well.
Thank you. Do you think these arts and humanities based approaches have been useful in, you know, on one hand unpacking, but on the other, especially working with children and young people, showing the complexity of the relationship between historical slavery and contemporary slavery, or the forms of exploitation which may not have in the first instance been regarded as slavery? Do you think these arts and humanities based methods have been useful, effective in conveying those particular kinds of relationships and complexities in your work?
First of all, I think in general, drama and dance is a very effective way of a tool to be used for communication and building confidence and all those language skills, all those things that kids need to develop. And in general, drama and music are seen as very important tools anyway for that. And so just to have the access of using dance and drama to make a point about or discover these topics of modern day slavery and transatlantic slavery made it much easier in terms of a presentation for the kids. So they're now, you know, these are children that are now getting a visual and audio of what their subject matter is like, the topic is like, and they can now have a a physical experience as well through the dance, you know, an effective one, an emotional one. So it's a shared experience in terms of even the heritage sites, like going on these trips, and then they'll come back and feed their emotions into that through, it could be fine art or photography. So they're getting to reflect on that through their own interpretation of it. So I think the arts and humanities are extremely important, actually. I think it's probably, for me, I mean, I'd argue this because I'm a you know, in the performance arts sector, but I believe that it's one of the most important ways, if not the strongest ways, to get children thinking the fastest and getting them eloquent to a place much faster than any other way, or much faster than the academic ways.
Conventional
forms of, you know, and we see the results. These kids are, I think Flo said it, these kids are, you ask them about, you know, in the reflections, you ask them feedback about what they found was effective and what they have learned, and they will feedback with, you know, very specific stuff about modern day slavery, and they, you know, they really retained what they'd learned, and that for me was really good. And one thing I really feel overall is that I feel these kids are now empowered, and they can now go on and empower other children, which I feel is an objective for us to, you know, achieve. So seeing that they really understand it, and they can now go to other classmates, kids in the communities, and say, hey, what's going on there is actually type of modern day slavery. I think that's that we've done part of our job. Yeah.
I think that approach worked perfectly. And just as Kweku said, these kids are used to the conventional methods of learning, which is like a classroom-based method where there's a teacher in front of you and then the information is given out to you. You put it in, you get it. If you get it, yes. If you don't get it, that's it. But using the arts and humanities approach was a way to get these kids to actually move. Because one thing a child told me was, Auntie, I understood things that domestic servants go through a lot, because during the drama, I played the part of the person who was the victim. And even through the way the perpetrator spoke to her and stuff, I felt sad. And this made me feel something that I think all these victims of domestic servitude feel. And some of them just moving their bodies, being able to do stuff that didn't require the use of, let's say, pens and pencils, were enough for them to express what they wanted to tell you, even without words. And since sometimes these kids tend to be very shy, but the use of these approaches have made them very confident. And we are really excited about it, because we begin to pinpoint even kids who are part of the program who are very artistic in that form. And I think at the end of the day, it would go a long way to help them. Yeah.
So in terms of impact, I mean, we're talking about the highlights, you know, the very positive changes that you've witnessed in the work that you've been doing. But can you share a bit more about some of the sensitivities that you have encountered working with young people? What does it mean to do anti-slavery work with young children? You know, what sorts of measures have you been putting in place to ensure that these young people are protected? You know, the ethical challenges that come with working with these young children. But also in thinking of that in terms of impact, it would also be useful to hear from you about the sort of long-term work that you're imagining that this particular work that you've been engaging can produce. What are you thinking could come out of that, having considered sort of the challenges and some of the ethical aspects of working with young people? What then in the long term?
So in the long term, what we aim to achieve is to produce an educational pack that we want to take to government schools, both in urban centers and rural areas, to be able to teach these young people who are very vulnerable to issues of modern day slavery currently. So we aim to also teach their teachers about this pack, to just equip them to be able to give information about issues of slavery, both historically and modern day slavery, to these kids of various government schools. And also the aim is to also take it to areas that are currently having lots of people in modern day slavery. So let's say to the Volta Lake area, schools in the Volta Lake also, and also up north, because we believe these young kids or children are very vulnerable, and also the youth are also the ones who are interested in traveling to Gulf countries for better job opportunities, as they say. So we believe if we educate and we give them such information, it would be a tool, to an anti-slavery tool, to actually help them not become victims of modern day slavery. And we hope to also, in addition, have a mobile museum, which we will take around, so that schools that do not have accessibility to electricity to power laptops and have digital presentations could go into these mobile museums and have a look at things that are happening with regards to slavery in Ghana now.
And in terms of working with the children, the ethics, have you been working with the families? Have you been getting consent from their guardians? What has been the process in terms of...
Okay. We've always sought permission from parents by sending out like letters so they have that information. I think I've been told some of them read out the letter to their parents if they can't read as well. And we've always got communication with the parents, particularly from our like City Hearts outreach team as well. So we've always been like ensured that they're protected in terms of in what they're learning with Emerging Voices.
We even had a case where a parent came in with a letter, and we had to translate the letter, the consent letter, just to the parents so that the parents will understand what she was committing herself to. And also, for example, with our trips, also we gave our consent letters to the heritage sites. We also put in place a missing person procedure, whereby just to be, we didn't want any kid to get lost, but just to ensure the safety of kids at heritage sites, so they know what they can do, the next steps in case they are found in a place where they are like, oh, I'm lost, but I can't find my way. So we put in procedures to just curb any issues of having risk or anything like that. Yeah, so.
Yeah. In terms of the sensitivities towards the children, I think we also had to look at the material that we used in rehearsals. I mean, I remember when I started, I was quite tentative and kept asking the staff at Emerging Voices in regards to how deep can we delve into transatlantic slavery and modern day slavery, because it's very emotional. And you know, I remembered back to when I was in school, and you know, some of the stuff we did, which was, they just touched on it, but it was quite emotional at a young age. So I was like, okay, we have to be very sensitive in terms of what we allow them to see. And I would always be asking, is that okay in terms of is it appropriate? So that was one thing that was important. And also another element is as time went on, we realized that some of these kids could be going through some of these things that we're scripting, especially for modern day slavery. And you don't want to touch an old wound, you know, you don't want to, you know, touch a nerve on someone. And also, so we had to be, you know, we had to be careful with that as well. And also the interpretation of that. Now they've got this empowerment. What happens if their abuser, for the want of a better word, is their parent or their aunt? Are they now going to go into back home and be like, hey, we learned this, you're not supposed to do that. That could be quite dangerous, you know? So we had to be very careful about how some scripts had to be, you know, just slightly tweaked so that they understood that they're adults that can help you when these things are there, but you should not necessarily go and challenge the adult that's doing this to you right there and then at that moment. Maybe you get safety, but, you know, so that we had to really make some choices about what the responses are, and then also not making the parents or whoever the abuser is, in quotation, be seen as a, you know, the monster. Like, how do you solve it holistically, you know? So those were points that we had to look at.
I just wanted to say that also, I think at the end of summer camp, I wanted to do a reflection. So we asked them actually specific scenarios and what would they do. But also we also told them like, and when we were educating the parents on what they could do, which was speak to us, speak to the police, speak to kind of the agency if it exists, so then they can seek out the proper help in the right forms that they can.
Yeah, that moves us nicely to the next and last question that I was going to ask you, which is about the kinds of stakeholders that you might want to work with going forward and the kinds of support that you'd also be looking for, either in a network like the Anti-Slavery Knowledge Network or in other partners. You know, what sorts of potential stakeholders are you looking to be working with, or what kinds of support can we work on together?
So in trying to work with stakeholders, I think some of the key stakeholders we want to work with is the Ministry of Education. We would also want to work with the community, which is both the children and their parents. We will still want to carry out that work. We'd also want to work with schools in terms of teachers and also the heads of these schools, with the Ghana Museums and Monuments Board, since we realized that the projects cannot just function with the creative arts, but also a heritage site visit should be added onto it for the kids to understand everything holistically. Would also want to work with the Department of Archaeology and Heritage Studies in getting more people from the heritage department to help teach these young ones also about heritage and stuff like that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Anti-Slavery Knowledge Network podcast, Creative Paths to Freedom. For more information on the work that the network is doing, please find us on Twitter, Instagram, and our page on the University of Liverpool website.